pursuing the promise of God. He started pursuing God's purpose for him. Have you grabbed a hold of what God has for you as yet? Or are you still living on the periphery, on the boundaries, on the edges?
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Tonight, we will hear the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's last message in his series, Going Through the Book of the Acts. The Book of Acts tells the thrilling story of how the Holy Spirit, starting with a small group of frightened and confused individuals, grew the Church of Jesus Christ into a worldwide witness of the saving power of the risen Christ. We at the Germantown Christian Assembly thank you for listening in to our broadcast and trust that this series has been a blessing. In this last message, Pastor Grant will use the Apostle Paul as an example of unwavering trust in the promises of God. The first reference we will be looking at tonight is found in Acts chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us there and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled, God Who Keeps His Promise. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A little preschool girl was at the doctor's office, and as the doctor listened to her heart through his stethoscope, he asked her, "Who do I hear in there? Is it Donald Duck in there? Is it Barney in there?" Little girl corrected him very seriously, and she said, "No, it's Jesus in my heart. Barney is on my underwear." Even this little girl knew that God keeps his promises, and that when she invited Jesus into her heart, he came in. Amen? Aren't you glad that God always keeps his promises? Today I'm speaking on the theme, the God who keeps his promises. In October 1964, presidential candidate Lyndon Johnson promised, "We are not about to send American boys 10,000 miles away from home to do what Asian boys ought to be doing for themselves. We are just not going to do it." But within 2 months of his inauguration, the promise was broken. Now, we are so accustomed to hearing politicians break their promises that sometimes when they do, it's no big deal. But listen good, if we are going to entrust our souls to God for eternity, it's important that we know that we know that we know that the God that we're entrusting everything to is a God who keeps his promises. Amen. In last week's message, Paul was imprisoned by Roman soldiers, and while he was in prison, God made him a very special promise, a very important promise. Turn in your Bibles, because everything that we're talking about this morning hinges on this promise that God made in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23, verse 10 to 11. It reads as follows, "Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces because he was now brought for trial, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks." And here's the key verse. "But the following night, the Lord stood by and said to Paul, 'Be of good cheer, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you what? Must also bear witness at Rome.'" Paul was going to Rome. Nothing could stop him. Why? Because God said he was going to Rome. Amen? We'll soon come to some of the incredible obstacles that had to be overcome. But thank God, there is no obstacle too big for God. And when we have a God like this, when we have a God that there is no obstacle too big for him, when we have a God that keeps his promises, that's one of the reasons why we need not complain. Amen. I want to talk first of, you know, it's one thing to have these promises of God. But have you ever wondered what is the purpose of God's promises? Let's talk a little bit about the purpose of God's promises. And I'm going to suggest to you that one of the biggest purposes of God's promises is to make us more like Christ. That might surprise you. You say, how can a promise make me more like Christ? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and listen to what the Word of God says. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Listen now. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us these exceedingly great. Sometimes we don't stop a minute to think about how exceedingly great these promises that God has given. The Word of God says they are not only exceedingly great, they are precious. Some translations say they are magnificent. Exceedingly great and magnificent promises. And He says God has given us these exceedingly great and magnificent promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. God's promises are designed to make us more like Christ. The day we got saved, we received a new nature. But the more we cling to God's promises, the more we pursue God's promises, the more we make God's promises an integral part of our lives, the more our character will be changed. I don't want you to miss that. Because sometimes we love to think about the promises, but that's all we do. What a wonderful promise. But God wants us to internalize these promises, to grab these promises, to live by these promises. And you're going to see as we go through this message this morning that what the Apostle Paul did, he got this promise from God, and Paul directed his life because he had received the promises of God. The promises of God can actually change the course of your life. In September, I'm going to start a series entitled Pursuing God's Promises. It's a study of the life of Abraham. I said to my wife last night, it's as if I'm going to be continuing this message. Pursuing God's promises. There is something special when we pursue God's promises, where it's not just a promise that I grab it, it's for me, and it can change my very life. You know, Acts 26, as Paul made his defense before King Agrippa, he made us aware of a special promise God had given him at his conversion. What we sometimes miss is that Paul's entire life was the pursuit of a promise. Look with me at Acts 26, verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul is telling King Agrippa what happened the day he got saved. And he says here, as he was knocked down by this light, remember the light on the road to Damascus? And he says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I yet will reveal to you. I will what? I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Don't miss verse number 17. God promises Paul, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. Will deliver you. God promised this to Paul, and although he was a brand new baby, he believed. And as a result, we are able to read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles the incredible way God used the Apostle Paul, simply because he had received the promise. And although he was a baby Christian, he figured if God said he was going to deliver him, he could do all the risky things. He could live a life totally sold out to God, no matter what the risk was, because nobody could do anything to him until God had finished his work. Now, I'm looking at some folks who are babies. Some of you aren't no babies anymore. Come on now. Some of us have been saved a while. You see, sometimes we're full of excuses. Oh, I only got saved 3 months ago. I only got saved 6 months ago. I only got saved 2 months ago. The very day that Paul got saved, he started pursuing the promise of God. He started pursuing God's purpose for him. Have you grabbed a hold of what God has for you as yet? Or are you still living on the periphery, on the boundaries, on the edges? This morning, God wants us to dive deep to see what he has in store for us. Let's talk a little bit about the power of God's promises. One of God's exceedingly great and precious promises is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Dr. B. Sam Hart used to say, this is such a precious promise, it makes sense forwards or backwards. If you read it backwards, you forsake nor you leave, never will I. Makes sense even backwards, eh? God will never leave us. Can you imagine the God of the universe is promising he will never leave his children? Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this does not apply to you, but it can, because you can come to Christ today. But once you come to Christ, God is promising you he will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes I don't believe that we Christians realize how special it is. We talk about this so much that sometimes we miss how special it is that the Spirit of God is in us, and the Spirit of God, he will never ever leave us. Sometimes it's because we think that the Spirit of God is a force, but he's not a force. He's a person. He is God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that it was for our advantage that he was going. I'm going to go away. I'm going to heaven, and I'm doing it for your advantage. He says, because if I don't go away, the Spirit will not come. Now, some of you sitting there, you say, what? How could it be to our advantage that Jesus leaves? We want Jesus. Jesus says, hey, it's for your advantage I'm going. Because when Jesus is here, if Jesus is having dinner with Brother Kirk, the rest of us can't see him. We'd all have to break in over Brother Kirk's. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus, when he was here, he was in one body. He was not everywhere at the same time. Sometimes we Americans believe this thing is only an American thing. And so if Jesus was here, we would like to try and make sure he stays right here. Is that what we would have done? We're going to try and force him. Jesus, you got to stay right here in America. Then the rest of the world would have him. Jesus said, it's good I'm leaving, because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He says, when I go, I will send the Spirit of God, and he will be with you, and he will be in you forever. Somebody say amen. He will be in us forever. Not a force. The Almighty God himself living in us. Listen, David understood how special this was. Because you see, David is someone who knew it was what it was to be empowered by the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel 16 tells us that the Spirit of God came upon David. David also knew what it was to have the Spirit of God leave him. You say, Brother Brian, what are you talking about? You see, you might not realize this, but as you study the Word of God, you realize that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon a person, empower him or her for a special mission, and then leave. So David knew what it was to be empowered because the Spirit of God was on him. But he knew also what it was like, the emptiness, when the Spirit of God left him. And so in Psalm 51 verse 11, David prayed and he says, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You see, sometimes I hear people praying that prayer. And I just want to say to you, brother, sister, you don't have to pray that prayer anymore. Amen. You don't have to pray that prayer anymore, because all that prayer was a pre-Christ prayer, a pre-church prayer before the church. You see, this is what Jesus was trying to say before he left. While he was here, he was God's representative on earth, and he was letting us know when he leaves, God was going to send the Spirit of God, the one, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. He was going to send him, not to visit with us, not to empower us, not to come upon us for a time. He was going to send him to be in us forever. So friend, you don't have to pray, God, don't take your Spirit from me. The minute you come to Jesus, the minute you say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me from my sin and come into my heart, that very minute the Spirit of God comes in and he will never leave. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is actually living in the body of every Christian. Can you understand the opportunity, the possibilities? Are you getting a sense of the possibilities? Are you understanding why there is absolutely no reason why a Christian should be looking like that person who is always sucking on lemons? We ought to be people of joy. Joy bubbling up in our souls because the Spirit of God, God lives in me. What unbelievable opportunity. What unbelievable possibilities. That's why the Apostle Paul can say, sin shall not have dominion over you. Listen, if you're here this morning, don't say you can't. Sin does not have to have dominion because God lives in you. So we're talking about the power of God's promises. Let's look at three instances in this last few chapters of the book of Acts. The first one, if threatened by enemies, listen to this. These three stories, I believe, demonstrate the power of God's presence. The power of having God living in us. Number one, if threatened by enemies, God who never leaves me can protect me. Do you believe that? Here we are in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23, verse number 12. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bowed themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. No, there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now therefore, you together with the council suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow," that's Paul, "as though you're going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near." So is Paul going to get killed? Now how you know Paul is not going to get killed? What's that? God said he's going to? He's going to Rome. The resonating theme in this message is God says he's going to Rome. And if God says he's going to Rome, guess where he's going? Why is he going to Rome? Because this God always keeps his promises. And listen good, what God wants us to show us this morning is, despite the obstacles in the way, he's going to keep his promises. Oh, no matter what the mountain is, no matter what the issue is in your life, this is a mountain moving God. If threatened by enemies, he'll protect you. These guys were determined to kill Paul. Look at Acts. You know, it's so funny. I don't know if you've ever had anyone wanting to kill you. Oh, I've had people threaten to kill me. Yes, they have. Back here, actually, in Florida, somebody threatened to kill me because of sharing the gospel with somebody they didn't want it shared with. And they were fearful that the person was going to get saved and change their life and People want to kill me. Sometimes all they want to do is make you lose your job. You ever been there? Somebody has something in for you. Some enemy who wants some harm to come your way. But I just want you to know this sort of God that we have. When you are threatened by enemies, he can protect you. Acts 23 verse 16. So when Paul's sister's son heard of the ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the commander, and on, I tell you, you got to read some of these stories for yourself. Verse 21, "But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait. Here's what the commander did in verse 22. "So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, 'Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me.' And he called for two centurions, saying, 'Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor.'" God, can you imagine this incredible military procession just to guard this one man, Paul, because God said he was going to Rome? This is the same guy who was thrown from pillar to post. 470 military, Roman military, to guard this one man that he makes it safely. I tell you, God will go to all sorts of extremes. You know, one of the sad things in our country is that we still have this racial divide. And so one day, some years ago, some of you know the story, I was traveling through a section of the city that's not particularly friendly to people who look like me. And this young man, he decided he wouldn't stop at the stop sign. I was on the straightaway. He decided he wouldn't stop at the stop sign. And he came barreling into my car and he crashed right into my door. Amazingly, my car did all its little jumps and flips around and all the smoke and what have you. But it settled itself down and stopped and couldn't be driven, but it stopped. And he was taken to the hospital. You'd have thought I was the one taken to the hospital. He hit me in my door. He was rushed off to the hospital. But of course, he wasn't that seriously sick. He was well enough to text a few people and whatever. And before you knew what happened, the mob showed up. Some guys still had on their pajamas, girls in their pajamas. They were going to do me. But God had a different plan. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant Steve Washington, and our entire church family. This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.